me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car.
There's a siren. There's an ambulance going by my house.
Hit me with your car.
Hold for sound.
Hit me with your car.
Hold for sound.
You listener, we
hit me with your car.
The authorities are coming for you because you're listening to this podcast.
Oh my God, Lucas.
The authorities are coming for you, listener.
This is a fucking jam-packed podcast. The Gooner Nation, Gooner are Gooner soldiers and soldierettes are in for a treat.
Don't forget the soldier M's, soldier them's, I don't know.
I mean, they don't want they thems in the military. I don't think when they repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell, I don't think that they extended that privilege to genderqueer people.
Yeah, but the Gooner Army is full of genderqueer people. That is undeniable.
That's like our bread and butter.
Is that what they're calling it now?
No, lots of, I don't want to say gooning news, car crash news this week. Lots of news for car crash stuff.
Oh, so it's one of those episodes.
Yeah, it is. There's really not a lot of jokes.
That's okay.
I just heard did you hear that?
The siren?
It's like, no, every like 30 minutes, I hear someone skidding to a halt at the light outside my house. It's a 4-lane road that becomes a 2-lane road. And I live maybe a quarter mile to half a mile down from the point where it chokes. And I live on the 2-lane part. And people are like flying on the 4-lane part, and then they get to like a narrower section of the road.
Sure, yeah.
They come up, and they don't expect the first traffic signal, and they just like it gets a lot of people. Anyway, let me talk to you about what I got, and then why don't you talk to me about what you got, and we can come up with like a plan of action.
I think that sounds like a really I think that's a step forward.
Okay, so I've got, first things first, we have a new theme song. You haven't heard it yet because I cut it right before this, but you'll hear it when I publish this.
I'm as scared as you are excited, listener.
So new theme song, we've got the keyboard plugged into the interface today. So
ooh.
I don't have like a mic stand, but if I sort of tuck the microphone into my shirt, I can actually sing and play at the same time, or like talk and play at the same time. So I may do the second half of this episode cybernetically enhanced.
Wow. Could you maybe employ the car battery that you have sitting there as well?
It's employed, baby.
Excellent.
And then I have some stuff I want to talk about. The University of Texas Police Department got back to me with the real counts of bike and scooter stops. So we have like better data, like significantly better data, it turns out, from the UTPD. We had a bus crash. Someone got killed by a bus on 6th Street in Austin. We can talk about that. Then there's in Houston, a bus fell off a bridge and 12 people got hurt. I wanted to talk about that. Bus crash, bow, 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 bus crash. Illinois is up. We published Illinois. We got to talk about that.
Yes, the whole city of Chicago
Ohio,
and beyond. Let's
Georgia.
Go.
We got Chicago up, so that's pretty big. I want to talk about roads. that's the note. Scooter hit and run. I want to talk about someone getting hit by a scooter. Then, of course, ICE shot a lady, cars as weapons discourse.
Yeah, I've got that. That's on my list, too.
That's a good one.
I've got a take. I've got a hot take.
I have a note that just says, Zadi Zoran Benghazi Mamdani.
That's on my list, too. Mine says, Mommy Mamdani.
And then Ben crashing out too much is a note. We have to review the Denver thing.
yeah, and I think it would be good to issue an apology. But we'll figure it out. Stay tuned to get the juicy details on that.
No, yeah, Ben. Yeah, but like, Ben, does Ben need anger management classes? Potentially. I think the answer is potentially.
I'm excited to talk through it. I have questions. I'm pulling up the Illinois map. I haven't really scrutinized it yet, so I'm excited to look at it.
it's not as many injury points as, say, the Pennsylvania map. The Pennsylvania map has almost twice as much injury data. So think of it this way.
Wow.
For every fatal crash, there's 3 to 4 serious injury crashes, right? And all of these are like high impact, devastating, violent collisions. So let's just say you have 20 years of fatality data. If you were to just have 5 to 7 years of injury data, that would add about the same number of crashes to the map, right? So in the instance of Illinois, by adding the injury data, it's like 10 years of data, we get something like 180%, or I'm sorry, yeah, we get something like 180% increase in significant points on the map.
There's more years of fatality data, yeah.
On a per year basis, it's like a 300% Man. Increase for the years that we have.
Yeah. Wow.
So we wow. want to do injury data for all the states. Illinois is up. Next up are Georgia and Ohio.
Yep. So go to roadway.report/state name. So roadway.report/Illinois/Pennsylvania, etc. Or you could just go to Roadway Report and there's a tab in the toolbar for state injury data.
Well, why don't you shoot? Do you want to go first and we can talk about?
So I've got, yeah, I've got a couple of other things on my list that are like, there's one local Denver thing that I want to talk about. I want to continue to talk about the Alameda Project. And the ongoing saga and the terrible media, local media, like ecosystem in Denver. And there are a lot of people doing good stuff out there, but I want to bitch about the Denver Gazette. Yeah, that's good. I can shoot. Yeah. I mean, I want to share before we dive totally in here that, we have, uploaded the podcast to Patreon. We'll be checking and responding to all your comments there. We'd appreciate the support. It's absolutely free to subscribe there. And if you're more of a, like, I don't want the government to track me and know where I am type, and you want to keep listening on the website, please do that. But otherwise, if you want to make your support visible by following us on Patreon, that would be a big help. We'll also respond
if anybody can leave us a rating on iTunes. That would help my ego just a little bit. The fact that nobody has rated this podcast
that'd be good.
On iTunes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you also have the opportunity, if you want, to subscribe and essentially, you know, enlist in the Gooner Army officially. So if that's something that gets you off, you should definitely give us like $5 a month. That would be really sick. I mean, you'd give five. We would get like 3, I think, but... it would be cool and you know, you would officially enlist in the Gooner Army, which I know you want to do.
Okay. It's good to beg, but we have so much content this week. I just feel like we've got to, you know.
We got to barrel forward. This is the language of the people ready to hear the
Gooner
truth.
Gooner Army, here we go. Listen, Gooners, we've got lots of...
So, I've got...
go on.
No, yours was a better start.
You got to bring up the first topic. I'll do the second topic.
Okay. Waymos have officially landed in Denver. I have seen them with my own eyes. They are out parking in biking lanes and puttering around, kind of like getting in the way of things, which altogether for me is like, you know, I wish they wouldn't park in the bike lane, but... They're figuring it out. I haven't, of course, ridden one yet, but they have arrived in Denver. I haven't seen anyone gooning inside them. I haven't seen anyone inside them yet. So it's coming, but it's since it was sort of a focus last week, I was like, ooh, there they are. I'm actually seeing them.
No, I mean, I do believe that the introduction of this technology will save lives. And like that can be true while still believing that the only solution to the ecological crisis, as well as the roadway violence problem, truly cannot lie with optimizing tanks, right? Like there's just the fundamental problem is everybody in like a heavy pod flying around the urban environment.
In their own little pod. Everyone gets their own little pod.
So it will help. It will help the violence problem, but with broader social and ecological implications of this engineered environment. I don't think anything really stands to change by a bunch of like self-driving cars standing between you and like the grocery store.
Exactly. Yeah, a friend of mine, I think, put it well. I was talking with them about it, and they said human error is chaotic, but computer error is not fictitious. So while it's, and I thought that was good, that put it in good perspective for me, because the technology itself is inefficient and cumbersome and stupid as a means to move human beings around an urban environment. And so therefore, it's going to continue to be flawed, even by removing one of the biggest pieces of danger within that, which is human error and human distraction and people being able to watch porn on their heads-up displays. Like, they're taking the human out of the situation is a positive, but it's not a solution.
Right. A real solution is scooting everywhere. This is like a real solution to the violence problem and to the ecological detriment of our carved world.
Mm-hmm.
Is scooting everywhere. Like, that's a real solution, is to nut up and buy an electric scooter and go about your business, right? Like, fuck, dude. I can't believe, like, the red pill, it cuts so deep. even my brother, who's like a, it's not essentially like a neoconservative, he lives in the urban environment, and he was saying like how he had only put 12,000 miles on his car in like 6 years. And it's like, it's because he lives in an urban manner, despite having like a deeply toxic ideology that underpins everything that he does. It's like, just by virtue of being urban, his impact is far lower.
Yeah, and it's not like he lives in like a central urban area of one of our nation's largest cities. He just lives in like a nice, rich suburb. Like, it's not a suburb, but it's suburban. I won't say the name of the city, I guess, but I would describe it as suburban.
He lives in a safe place to ride a bike, right?
Exactly.
A safe place to participate in public space.
Yep. That's what's key here. It's a suburb that is a legacy of the old streetcar infrastructure. There's so many of our best city neighborhoods are those where there was a main street that had a streetcar that carried all the people everywhere they needed to go from the workplace back to home. And then along that main drag and through the streetcar network developed a ton of diverse businesses that people could get to really easily. Either by taking the streetcar through the main thoroughfares of town or by walking or cycling or whatever the case may be through the back roads, right, on a connected grid. And these are amazing places to live. It's like the only place where I feel at home are neighborhoods like this. And we could have them everywhere if everybody stopped driving their car and just rode a scooter everywhere.
You need to stop driving your car. Stand up to the fascist government. Man, it's kind of hard. It's hard to riff on the pigs, the government, when that lady just got shot.
I mean, I feel like it's, I'm angry. I don't know. I'm angry. I appreciate that our podcast has been anti-government before it was.
Well, here's the thing, though. I firmly believe that you should be allowed to shoot drivers. Like, here's the thing. If you ride a bike, invariably, eventually, somebody is going to drive their car directly at you. And like, it's going to happen more than once in a blue moon, right? It's going to happen often enough to where you're constantly looking out for it.
Yeah,
so
but...
I just think that, like, it's the sort of thing that does justify use of force. And in a perfect world, we'd be able to shoot drivers. In self-defense, just for them driving at you. does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that because...
As like a thought exercise. Of course, I'm not going to shoot somebody. I'm going to try to get out of the way, right? But, like, what is justice?
I think one thing that, at least in all the discourse that I've seen from the right, you know, they're arguing that the car was a weapon and the officer was in danger, right? Which is true, actually. The car is a weapon. Cars and guns are weapons. That's why we can even have this conversation, is because there is underlying the whole conversation the grain of truth that, yeah, you could kill an ICE officer with your car. Listener, you could go out and kill an ICE officer with your car. I'm not saying you should, but I am saying you could.
Okay.
I am saying you can.
Don't do that. What you should do is consider that cars and guns kill roughly the same number of people in America, and one is something that is designed to kill, and another is something that is designed to provide transportation. And the amount of transportation that we receive in relationship to
the amount of death
that our society incurs can be completely reformed. Like, it's the wrong number because we've engineered the worst possible system. And that's fine. We just have to make better investments going forward.
Yeah.
The cost
the other
is
thing,
too high.
I think that's extremely salient. The other thing that I would add here is that Renee Nicole Good was murdered by the government. And when I talk to people about their cars, and she was in her car, right? That was her mistake. She went to the protest in her car in this case. It happened to put her in the, you know, entropy calculation into the crossfire. She's not the first person that was killed by ICE this year. She's not the first U.S. citizen that was killed by ICE this year, let alone the rest of the violence that this empire wreaks on the planet. But when I talk to most people about their relationship to their car and, like, maybe trying to encourage them to replace some of their car trips with scooter trips or walking trips or biking trips or even transit trips, they have this argument that is rooted in their comfort, right? It's they say, well, but I'm safe in my car. And for a lot of people, this is, you know, true. Like, it does feel safer to be in your car than outside of it for a number of reasons. But it's their private space. It's their safe space. They think of it in that way. And they think that it keeps them safe. But it's very clear that your car cannot protect you from the government. They are going to kill you regardless. You're not safe. The car doesn't make you safe. Is just one, I think, truth of this tragic, tragic incident. I am so sad. I've been so sad this week about this. And it's the fact that a car is not going to protect you from a gun or from another car. More people die in cars than outside of cars from traffic violence. It's like, it's extremely sad, but no matter what, the car is not going to keep you safe. So get on your bike, walk to the grocery store.
No, well, unless you buy a bigger car and you drive faster.
That's true. That's true.
Look, the more deaths we produce through our media empire, through our underground, subterranean, independent media empire, the more roadway deaths that we can produce, the more coin we take in, baby. It's all about the paper, baby. Yeah. So the government is after us, gooners. The government wants to take us down, but they won't. Because we will be free and we will stand one as the Gooner Army. We will stand together and say, "You fascists, you can't take us over. You can't take these streets from us. We have a right to be free, baby. That's America, baby."
Hell yeah. This is America, baby. We do have a right to be free.
No, so the government is pulling over scooters, pulling over bikes and pulling over scooters, and other hardworking, decent people who are just trying to get through the university area. No, seriously. So the
you got the data.
Yeah, and okay, 2019, basically 600 scooter stops. Oh, sorry, 2019 is an average of 100 a month. 2020, average of 50 a month. You know, pandemic. 2021, average of 50 a month. 2022, average of 75 a month. 2023, average of 110 a month or 120. And then 2024, same. 2025, average of, oh, Jesus Christ. It's like four or 500. Basically, in the second half of 2025, the number of bike and scooter stops combined goes up like 500%.
There must be police administrators recognizing a new revenue source.
So it's like this is intentional. There's no way for this to happen by accident, right? So this is a regressive tax on society through the university systems, state police, right? Because we know who rides bikes and scooters. It's fucking low income people. By and large, anyone who doesn't have to doesn't choose to bike through the city in Texas. Do you know what I mean?
it's low income people and crazies like you, listener.
It really is, right? But this is a class issue. God, it's this fucking sucks, honestly. And this isn't what the government is for. Capital and private enterprise don't need help exploiting the poor, right? Like the government doesn't need to do this too. No one wants this,
especially when I'm sure that the city of Austin has committed to like green initiatives and things like that, where they claim to care and probably have in their goals, oh, we're going to reduce emissions by whatever in 2050, right? I might be being harsh, but like I'm sure that they have a public face. I'm sure that the city of Austin and, of course, the University of Texas have a public face that claim to care about these things, but instead they're creating more obstacles for people to do so and penalizing people for doing so, that is inherently safer and inherently better for the environment.
They're making the world a better place, and then the government comes along and writes you a ticket for being poor. Man, fuck this shit. Fuck these fascist pigs. I just want a goon, and I want to scoot, and I want to be free. Soar like the wind, you know? So yeah, this sucks. We'll post this PDF. Bus crash. Someone got hit by a bus. You want to talk about it? Bus crash. Bow, bow,
bow. Alert, alert, alert. It's a bus crash.
The funniest fucking headline I've ever seen. This is a Reddit post to the R Austin subreddit. First time visiting Austin tonight. Had a wonderful dinner, but also saw someone killed by a bus on 6th Street. Bow, bow, bow. Bus crash. Wonderful dinner.
I had a wonderful dinner, but I did have to see a person get obliterated.
I saw someone die, but, you know, beef Wellington. So I just thought that was funny. I don't know if this was a pedestrian. I think it was a pedestrian, not a cyclist. There are no details about the person out yet. I mean, let me see. Okay, yeah. I mean, it sucks. It's just super fucked up. It's like an adult patient who required extrication from underneath the bus. There was a screen grab.
To get whacked by the bus and then sucked under it is bad luck.
For any of you sickos who live in Austin, the murder bus is unit 8066, if you see that bus in the city.
8066.
That's like the fixed asset number.
It's a one-way route to hell.
8066. That's a newer bus. That's a newer bus. All the most major purchase of active rolling stock is like, it's from like 2002 or something. And it's all the 40s. It's all the 40s and 30s.
Wow.
Lots of buses on the streets in those 4XXX, 3XXX ranges. Anyway, enough about bus IDs. The murder bus is 8066. Pour one out for that guy.
So it was on 6th Street. Where on 6th Street?
Like 6th and Nueces. It's one of the places that I cross 6th Street.
Yeah. Yeah, damn. That's a bummer.
So a bus in Houston fell off an overpass, like a city bus. The bus was believed to have been rear-ended, and then it went off a bridge. The guy who hit the bus was in critical but stable condition. So that's a class 3 severity incident. For the folks at home, if the the crash kills someone, if it involves a motor vehicle and it kills someone within 30 days of the incident, that's a fatal crash. If you die on day 31, that's a severe crash. The floor for a severe crash is someone has to be taken away from the scene, right? Like, if you're like, I can leave on my own, like, free will, and then it's, like, not a level 3. But as long as someone gets carted away, it's a severe crash. And then there's, like, injured, potentially injured, and not injured. But the ones that we track on Roadway Report are level 3 and 4. We have all the 4s, and we're that's what the quest for all this injury data is we're trying to really just pull severe crashes, nothing involving like just minor but visible injuries, or, you know, with no visible injuries. We're just disregarding that data, and we're focusing on crashes that we essentially can confirm are violent collisions.
Yeah, the whole time you were saying that, I don't know if you'll hear it in the recording, but there were like sirens that went by, I think, coming down Colorado. And yeah, it was kind of the perfect thing to underscore your description of which injuries are in which class. Yeah, so...
But I guess no one died. This isn't the driver, fatal bus crash. So
I was going to say...
Think we should, I don't know if we want to... This isn't our beat.
Yeah, the bus driver was okay. How about the passengers on the bus?
Everybody's, I guess they're all hurt, but no one's dead yet.
Well, we'll have to keep an eye on
it. If someone dies in the next 15 days from that incident, then we'll chalk it up as a fatal crash and we'll circle back.
If someone dies in the next 15 days, we'll update you, listener, because that means we make money.
Money, 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 money. Okay, Illinois is up. So yeah, we have injury data live for Illinois. If you go to roadway.report/Illinois, gabagool, bada bing, bada boom.
Oh man, the north suburbs are... just heaven.
In Illinois? Like Evanston?
Yeah, and like north, what is it? It's the one that's just west of there. Northbrook. Northbrook is a place where you are not as likely to get injured in your transit journey. I mean, your transit journey is almost certainly to Chicago, but in your little neck of the woods, people who live in Northbrook definitely probably only put a couple... 1,000 miles on their car a year or less.
That's so sick. No, and then go look at like the hood, right? And it's just you can see it. I feel like Chicago would be a good example of a place to do to take all that data, fatal and serious injury combined, yeah. and then spread it out by census tract and do like a population density analysis.
Yeah, I think that would be a really interesting and. Clear story. Yeah, I mean, even if you take away the fact that through the neighborhoods in the south, they cut freeways through everything and knocked down a bunch of like thriving neighborhoods back in the day. Like, if you look at like really the like south side of the city, South Chicago, Avalon Park, South Shore, like
shout out, Mike.
Even on the surface streets, it's way more dangerous than the same distance away from the urban core. On the north side. This is Chicago once again comes through as like the clearest story about America.
Urban segregation. Oh man, I want to play the keys for that one. I'll have to become enhanced soon and finish out this episode in a musical fashion.
Level up.
Yeah, we got Chicago. Definitely look around there. Share it with your friends in Illinois, with your Chicago bays. We're looking into. I just requested access to the legacy data for Ohio, and I will combine that with the available data for the last 5 years, and then we'll publish something for Ohio. The Georgia dashboard doesn't work.
You should do Washington.
Washington State.
We should do Washington.
I want to do Seattle just because I got family there.
Yeah.
But it's not the next biggest state. It's like kind of far. It's another like 10 states away.
Okay. Yeah. So we got.
We'll get there.
Yeah, so in order, what, Virginia is ahead of... Are there more people in Virginia than Washington?
Got to Google it every time.
I feel like Washington's got to be, like, in the top 10.
Illinois. So, yeah, we got the first 6 states.
Woo!
And Colorado. So that's 7 total. Yeah, next up, Ohio and Georgia, hopefully. Then North Carolina, Michigan, New Jersey, Virginia, Washington. So I would estimate I can get there in another 2 months.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, ballpark.
I'm interested for the Jersey map. Really interested for the Virginia map. Yeah, hell yeah.
I think in this next batch, we're going to hit the first, the largest state that won't release data. I think we'll probably find it.
Yeah, I think in all likelihood. What did the Providence folks say? They said like 37 states have it public or something?
I think they said only eight don't.
Right, so statistically, we're going to hit one soon.
Killed by a bus. Okay, Ohio, Georgia. Yeah, the Georgia Tableau dashboard doesn't work, so I can't just rip it from their like public portal. I'm going to have to submit a request, it appears. If anybody can prove otherwise, please reach out to me. Ben at RowAdarReport. Scooter hit and run, cars as weapons. I want to talk about roads that are dangerous. And like, what makes a road dangerous? And are there roads that are irredeemably dangerous? Like, what do we do about roads that are so fast that you can't safely stop on them? Like, what is that? And how do we define this problem? And how do we come up with something better? Like, think about a highway. If you stop in the middle of a highway and someone slams into your car at 70 miles an hour, whose fault is it?
God's.
But really, though, whose fault is it?
It's if nobody's fault. It's God's fault.
No, but like, what is the answer to this question if you're the state? What is the answer to this question if you're like Joe off the street? Like, whose fault is it if you stall out in the left lane on the freeway and somebody hits you going 70 miles an hour and you both explode and die?
I think it's God's fault for passing along the divine right of kings to pseudoscience practitioners who call themselves traffic engineers.
I would argue it's the person who's driving at 70 miles an hour's fault. Like, I personally would argue that if you're driving faster, or I guess this is what my interpretation of the law was as a driver, is that if you're driving faster than you can see, if like essentially like your sight distance, right? If you can't see around a corner, you need to slow down to where you can stop within the distance of like what you can see. Right. And that idea applies to sight lines on freeways and country roads, right? It's like if you can't see over a hump, right, then it's like you have to slow down. And so if you slam into someone going a million miles an hour because you weren't paying attention, that's your fault, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I just want to litigate fault as an exercise because it's like it's not something we really do on this podcast.
Yeah, and I like that about this podcast. I think there's a lot of conversations about this. But yeah, let's do it. Yeah, I mean, I
just
think...
Because I want to talk about... It leads to the idea that like eventually there's going to be a reason to stop that's a good reason, right? Like every road you need to be able to stop. Right. Whether it's like a medical emergency or, you know, it's like, or you run out of gas or your car stops working. It's like eventually a duck crosses the road.
Sure,
right. Like
sure.
Eventually there will be a reason to stop. It doesn't matter what the road is. So when we design roads where you cannot stop or someone will die. Right. Like, I don't know if you saw the Dallas icy pileup. The one where there's just like unlimited cars just flying into this pileup.
We had one of these in Denver, I think 3 years ago. Yeah, it's gnarly.
But it killed like 6 people and the violence was unimaginable, right? Just all of these deaths are just unimaginably violent and they happen every day, everywhere. And there's no, you know, there's no news story. Like, God forbid one person gets shot and it's like, it's all over the news, right? But each of these deaths are just so gruesome and violent.
Right, and it doesn't matter.
The media coverage is very disproportionate.
It also doesn't, like, matter if they're gruesome or violent or provocative. They are human lives and they matter. And we accept the loss of them over and over and over again, which is why I think at this point, like, the issue is clearly systemic. The issue is clearly institutional. The issue is clearly built into our lived environment. It's lived in our built environment. It is the fault of the people who have allowed this system to propagate and duplicate and take over the world. And what I'm saying is the only solution is to take back the streets.
Are you familiar with the national maximum speed law?
That sounds gay.
It does. It is incredibly gay and no, so the national maximum speed law, I mean, this is straight from fucking Wikipedia, but this is like, it's insane that we haven't talked about this. As an emergency response to the 1973 oil crisis, on November 26, 1973, President Richard Nixon proposed a national 50-mile-an-hour speed limit for passenger vehicles and a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit for trucks and buses. In response to the proposal, the national maximum speed limit was enacted in 1974. So it was illegal to drive a car faster than 50 miles an hour from 1973. It was modified to 65 miles an hour in 87 and 88, and then it was completely repealed December 8, 1995. So that's the year I was born.
And this is because of the cost of gasoline?
Yeah, something like that.
Wow.
Now, the bottom of the article says, like, it's sort of disputed the impact on safety. Let me read this.
I mean, what about that song? I can't drive. It's 55.
Yeah, and so that's I was literally just Googled songs about cars earlier, and that song, I clicked on that song.
I'm glad that fired for you too in your brain.
No, and then it's like that song is about this law, and I'm looking at this song like, whoa, what the fuck? It used to be illegal to drive a car more than 55 miles an hour.
It's a protest song to that law. That's an anti-government song. I love it. That's wild. It
says, yeah, according to the National Research Council, there was a decrease in fatalities of 3,000 to 5,000 lives in 1974. That's a significant number.
Wow. I mean, I say it all the time, like, when I'm feeling defeatist and defeated. When, like, people ask me, you know, I tell them that I'm working on Roadway Report and I show them the map and they ask, they're like, oh, wow, this is amazing. Like, this is so cool. And I'm like, thanks. We're putting more dots on the map as fast as we can in more ways than one. But it's wild to me because people... I completely lost my train of thought.
No, it's okay. I'm stoned too.
I don't know. I have another one.
I mean, it's true. Oh, here, I have a little more to say about the speed limit law.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
True that it's hard to track, like, it's a social science, right? You can't run a controlled experiment. You can't do a blind controlled study where you kill someone with a car. So all of our insights about safety in the context of transportation are social sciences. The way we study this is with, like, statistics and shit. It's not you there are no, it, like, economics, it's fooey, right? It's a
social
science.
I was gonna say some might call it not science. So, I mean, I think, you know,
so,
obviously,
so what I'm saying is, yeah, a lot of these trends in the death data correspond to, like, economic activity, vehicle miles traveled, other confounding variables that make it hard to discern, right? Like, oh, well, what is the effect of enacting a speed limit, a national speed limit on safety at large, right? Because there's so many other variables at play, namely VMT and economic productivity, given that our whole system is dependent on this shit.
Yeah. I got my thought back.
From what we know, this definitely saves some lives.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things that we know works is cars traveling at lower speeds are less dangerous. Human error is less fatal.
So when was this repealed? Let me look at some charts.
Okay, yeah, you do that. I remembered what I was going to say, dear listener, so I appreciate you bearing with me. I'm often feeling defeatist and defeated, and people are asking me about the map, and I'm sort of, you know, thanks, appreciate it. Like, I wish we could do more to fix things. Sometimes people ask really good questions about, like, so, like, what's the goal? Like, how do you guys make it better? And that's a really hard question to answer. And one thing that I often eventually say in the course of that conversation is, well, once oil is unaffordable and people can't operate their cars, and you know, the cost of energy is so high that we're not going to be able, or the resources are so limited, then we'll fix our cities, and cities that are ahead of that curve will thank themselves. But until that happens, you know, things aren't going to change. And it's interesting that in a moment in the United States history when oil was expensive and resources were limited, we were able to make, we were able to move the needle on traffic deaths to the tune of whatever Ben is about to tell you.
Some, I mean, I don't know. It's like the number went down because we invented airbags and shit, and like it became the law you have to wear a seatbelt. That saved a lot of lives.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But then we just keep adding more miles, right? So the line is just kind of flat. It's just this like big problem, and the line is more or less flat for 100 years. And it's because it gets safer per person mile, but it's still like 10 times as deadly as taking a train, right?
Right.
100. Really, it's like 100 times. You kill 100 times as many people on average by driving to work. And it's like, it's a system problem.
Exactly. So when you are wondering why the evil regime wants to go to war to seize the oil that is best for making gasoline,
they got our boy. You know how many fucking lib cucks I had to listen to say the phrase Maduro is a brutal and violent dictator this week?
Yeah.
You know how many fucking like
non-zero
cucks,
yeah,
deeply cucked little pussies I had to hear say that phrase this week? 100% of them. Every spineless boner in civilized society this week said that phrase. Maduro, a brutal and violent dictator. I don't know. That's just, you know, when you just hear something that's bullshit, and it's like, it's that you hear it over and over that certifies that it's bullshit.
Well, and it's
like,
a,
you know,
shockingly,
like the Chinese regime, the China, the Chinese
China
communist dictator. You know, it's a language thing, and it just pisses me off.
Yeah, it's an incredibly racist piece of language too, from people who have, in this house, we believe, you know, science is real and Black Lives Matter. Like, they have that sign in front of their house and then they say that shit on television.
No, I mean, like, China is the greatest nation in the world. We have more than twice as many people in jail as they do. And there are people bike there. People take transit, man. They live in cities. They have shitty jobs. And, like, they live shitty lives just like us. It's super, super normal. All things considered. And yeah, I don't know. Who would you rather have surveilling you all the time? Instagram or the fucking Chinese Communist Party, who at least will like let you live near a park and take the train to work? God forbid.
God, this podcast forbid, is funded by the People's Republic of
China.
They
got our boy. They're like, they got our boy Maduro.
Yeah, they snatched him. They got him right quick.
We're not going to say he's a brutal and violent dictator. We're going to say he's our boy, just like Benghazi. Zoran, Zadi Zoran Benghazi Mamdani.
For me, he's Mommy Mamdani, but that's, I guess, my kink.
So, like, there will always be a reason to stop in the street, right? Like, eventually someone's going to have a seizure. There's going to be a duck. You know, like,
I saw there was
like
a man on the Ballard Seattle subreddit that stopped in traffic because he was slowing traffic down. He was just standing there eating a donut in the roadway. That's another really good reason to stop.
It's like, are you supposed to just kill an animal, like, to not start a car accident? Like, I think in some sense you could make an argument that there's a moral justification to kill the sloth, right? Because if you stop in the freeway, if you jam on the brakes on the freeway, you'll kill a kid, right?
Yeah, like, trolley problem, sloth or human child. Yeah, that's a good one.
It's a hell of a trolley problem, and it's sort of valid. These are the questions we have to ask as a society. Is like, what is it too gay to build a train if we are having to kill a child to save a sloth? Like,
I don't know. Sloths are filthy little weirdos.
I just think this system is so dumb.
It is.
It's so dumb,
yeah,
and blatantly idiotic. It's just so blatantly idiotic and regressive. And there's virtually no benefits from it other than it allows us to live in a more segregated society, and that makes white people feel good. It allows us to live free. It allows certain classes of society to live free of the detrimental effects of the system we've created. I don't know, brother.
That's a perfect transition into my feelings about the Denver Gazette and their recent interview with Dennis Royer, who was the city's chief traffic engineer for 15 years. They interviewed him. Denver Gazette's been publishing a lot of media that is supporting the decision of the city to remove the road design that would have introduced a road diet and removed a lane of car traffic from Alameda Avenue. And it's the biggest thing in the city right now that people are organizing around. The Denver Bicycle Lobby is doing some data requests, and you can find them online and donate. They like met their goal. So a lot of people are fired up about this in Denver, and the Denver Gazette is pushing back, just like the Cherry Creek Chronicle and the rest of the cucks in the old money Denver scene. But they interviewed this guy, Dennis Royer, and he said, "Find me another east-west thoroughfare you can drive on. This area is devoid of traffic capacity. They're just chasing traffic off the arterials. The compromise they negotiated is a good proposal. In this segment, you really need to..." Screw you, dude. It's just shocking that they are willing to publish lies. The only thing that is going to make that street safer is to take a lane away from cars and slow the street down altogether. You look at the injury map on roadway.report/Colorado, and you tell me that this is a safe design and that we should just replicate the same design with new painted lines on the street. Are you kidding me? Oh, man. Giving one pedestrian island for people to land at, it might make a marginal difference, but we have an opportunity here. And you were the traffic engineer 15 years ago. Go home. We need a better Denver.
Yeah, man. Speaking of better Denver.
This is a really good transition. So
No.
I'm fired up about this. I've been fired up about this topic.
I'm so sad.
And I was chiming in, someone on the R Denver subreddit. So Ben and I co-run recently, as of recently, we co-run the Reddit, account roadway.report. If you want to go interact with us there, do it. We would love to talk to you. You can find both of us there, and anything that you don't like, Ben wrote, anything you do like, I wrote.
I may have to give you the reins completely so I stop crashing out so much. I think we're leaning towards Lucas being in charge of media strategy, because Army of Gooners Take Back the Streets is like our core message, and I just think that I gave it the old college try, and I think it might be time to pivot.
Unbelievable. So I posted a comment on a post in the R Denver subreddit that was about it was the status of the news story, kind of where it was at like a week ago. I commented and I made a little pretentious comment about how, you know, the mayor could do better, and the mayor and more than half of the city council committed to building Vamos, which is a connected street network throughout the city, and like it costs nothing. And because we fail at these like critical junctures and critical dangerous parts of our high injury network, like Alameda Avenue on this stretch, we just like can't get anything done because we just get mired in the fight. And then I posted a link to the Colorado injury map from Roadway Report, which of course was seen as self-promotion, and I made a mistake and I broke the rule. And so we got a message that we got permabanned. And Ben texted me and grilled me a little bit about it. He was like, "You fucking idiot. Don't you know how to use Reddit?" And I was like, "God, I forgot a little bit, and I thought it would be okay. We're not making money. Like, I didn't think it counted. You know, I felt embarrassed." And then I get a text later in the day that we had been unbanned, but Ben had really flamed hard on the original ban message. It was pretty rough. I don't know if you want to read it for the listener or...
Let me pull it up.
I will warn any Denver listeners, this might hurt to hear. I read it and it made me feel a little icky. This isn't the first time it's happened either.
Says, okay, the first message is to me. It says, reminder from the Reddit team. Okay, it basically just says, you've been permanently banned from our Denver for self-promotion. And so I say, first things first, fuck the Broncos. Fuck the Nuggets. Fuck legal weed. Fuck Cheeseman Park. Fuck flannel shirts. Fuck performative allyship. Fuck whatever a Denver wet burrito is. Fuck your bitch ass, no good, sold the shithole of a town. Also, can you maybe ease the permaban or a volunteer project? Fuck Jokic, fuck RTD, fuck prospecting, mountaineering, hiking, the weird horse at the airport, fuck your complete lack of an organic culture. But really, we didn't mean to self-plug. But also, fuck you. And Denver does in fact suck. Fuck Coachella, too. And then they muted me after I said, fuck Coachella.
And then they express that they've, you know, reinstated our ban permanently and advised us to seek help.
I guess it turned out that they, like, maybe accidentally clicked permaban and then, like, unclicked it and selected, like, you know, 6-hour ban or whatever. But I just had still received the message for permaban. And so I thought I was permaban, but it turns out when I sent that message, we weren't banned at all. I could have posted to the subreddit again.
I almost said something because I checked it. I was like, what does it look like when we get banned? Am I just like not able to draft a comment or a post? And I was like, I think I can post, but maybe I just don't understand. Maybe I'll get a message. And then I was in the middle of something and I just moved on to living my life. But I almost messaged you and said, I think we're unbanned.
So,
and I should have.
So
I really
should have. No, well, I mean, how could you have predicted? How could you have predicted the events that would ensue?
Yeah, I guess I couldn't. But I guess my question is, like, what was going through your head?
I don't know.
When you were like, I'm going to start.
It's just really funny to me.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean,
I'm just ribbing the guy.
Yeah. 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 You're a troll.
No, it's the same thing happened with Buffalo. Buffalo permabanned me. And they removed my post, so I made a post to the sub that just said, like, fuck the Bills, fuck Buffalo Wings, you know, just, like, Buffalo shit. We're also permabanned from Jacksonville. So the three cities that I've gotten this banned from are Denver, Jacksonville, and Buffalo.
So we have a little better than 1/6 the amount of... Does that comprise the total number of bans that we've received?
We do enough Alex Jones stuff, we will get banned.
No, I'm not saying
everywhere.
It's bad. I'm asking if those three bans constitute the full list of subreddits that we are banned from.
I think so.
Okay, so we have roughly 1/6 the amount of bans as we do followers.
That's true. No, I mean, we have a couple followers.
Yeah, there's 17, I believe. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying good work, because, I mean, those are pretty bad numbers, but... you know, non-zero, you're still in the positive. You have more followers than you have bans.
Yeah, and I need to be good. I mean, this is reminiscent of all the mean emails I sent to the transportation department. And it's like, you know, they're really fighting an uphill battle. And they're all public servants, right? So I don't want to be super mean. I mean, I said some fucked up shit. You know, like, there's blood, you know, lots of, like, there's blood on your hands type of stuff. And it's true. I mean, it's true. And we've found a far more productive outlet for those feelings. It's called podcasting. and that's why we're here today.
I love this growth journey for you. The listener is really getting a nice arc here, I think. And yeah, for me, and I said that, I think I texted this to you after the incident, but like, I appreciate the rage and I appreciate the tone of... I don't know, masculine indignation, like I really appreciate that. I think that it's devoid from some of our conversations about this topic in a way that it shouldn't be. I think we should feel righteously angry and toxic about this topic. I think that's like that those are righteous feelings. However, when it's the moderator of a subreddit who, you know, really is just like enforcing the rules. I broke the rules. I crossed the line. They were, you know, just kind of doing their job. Like, it's not worth using the energy for that person. If there's
toxic,
someone that's
I'm
commenting,
toxic. I'm a hater first and a person second.
Yeah, I mean, and that's fine. I think that if we're not generating haters, we're not doing podcasting right. But we have to generate, you know, 70% haters and 30%.
No, you're right. You're right. I didn't need to flame out on that
30%
guy.
30% haters.
I was just having
right?
a little fun. I thought we were already banned. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry I got us banned. that was an accident. And it was an accident as a result of being mean when I didn't have to. And I mm-hmm. think the lesson is that you shouldn't always be mean when you don't have to.
That's very good, buddy. Very good boy.
Okay, so Reddit post. This is a good Reddit post. Hit and run witness at MLK and Nueces. If you were the person hit on a scooter near Chick-fil-A tonight, I got a picture of the SUV that ran the red light, albeit a blurry one, but you can just barely make out the license plate. Reach out if you end up filing a police report or just want the info. I followed the SUV and took a picture, and I saw them accelerate away. They were blocked at the next intersection and did not look like they were going to circle back if you were okay. Oh, this is also fucked up. I ran back to you, but you'd already left, and the firefighters that I spoke to had also stopped, seemed to assume that you had only hit the sidewalk. I hope you were not seriously hurt. So it's like fucking typical, right? This is all the shit we talk about. Is like, if you get hit by a car, yeah. the person's going to leave. The cops are going to assume that you just fell over. And everyone will forget about you. After you're dead, everybody will forget that you were cool. The whole ordeal just fucking sucked. If you like,
and there's
if
countless
you don't
stories
die,
like
you'll
this.
Just be
if you go
threatened
through the,
by people.
The relevant subreddits.
People will just pretend yeah. that they're going to try to hit you, even if you don't die. Like, we go through so much as scooterers, right? Like, we are an oppressed people. we go through so much, and the government wants to tax us. It's like, fuck you. Fuck you, government! Let my people go! You know?
Yep, let the people scoot.
All right, so what else you got? Do you want to talk about ICE? Do you want to talk about cars as weapons?
Do
you want to talk Zoran?
I have a little bit more on that. I think we covered the terrible, tragic incident. And yeah, fuck ICE. I wanted to talk about the bump, which was on the Manhattan side of the Williamsburg Bridge, which like is one of the densest, like represents one of the densest areas in the country. It's a major bike thoroughfare. It's a notorious, terrible item. And they fixed it. Really good PR. So I reached out to my buddy who bikes into Manhattan from, he lives in Bed-Stuy. So sometimes he takes the Williamsburg Bridge across into Manhattan where he does a lot of his work. I was like, was that like a really bad place or was this just like empty PR? I just kind of wanted to get it straight from the horse's mouth. Sorry to my buddy for calling you a horse. But yeah, he said that whole area is bad, needs a rework, which is in the plans. But this was a good faith thing. And he said, to be honest, I think it's something that bothered the mayor personally. So, you know, we stan our mummy, Mamdani.
Zeddy Zoran Benghazi, Mamdani.
Exactly. But he said, yeah, I would hit that transition every single day commuting, and it's rough. He took a video going over the fixed spot yesterday.
I would hit that transition or no transition. Zeddy Zoran can get it, you know?
Whether, yeah, no matter what. Yeah, no matter what.
Woo!
Talking
about
so it's
Zoran,
interesting.
Like
I also
my wife talks about Timothy Chalamet.
Does your wife like Timothy Chalamet?
Oh yeah, big time, big time.
See, that's odd. I feel like you and Timothy Chalamet are very, very different fellas.
That's okay. I've still got it.
I know. Yeah, you still got it. But sometimes you need a scoop of that sweet vanilla Chalamet.
And sometimes you need that hot Italian beef, you know, with a micro penis.
Yeah, exactly. Covered in sport peppers. Micro penis like a sport pepper.
I might say, ladies, it might be small, but the balls are big. Gentlemen, you too.
Gentlemen, it may be small, but it's the hottest little sport pepper you'll ever suck on.
Waiter, how big are your balls? Waiter, how big are your balls? that the husband?
Yeah, I think it has to be. And he's like, yeah, yeah, he's a foodie, he's a chef himself, and he grills the waiter about how big his balls are, how big the balls are.
If that guy were my dad, I'd be gay.
If I were a dog and that guy were my owner, I would be gay.
How big are your balls? Okay. Sidebar. No, I mean, yeah, I'm stoked about Zohran. I think they made a lot of progress under Jeanette Sadiq Khan. She was a really good transportation commissioner. I think Schwartz is going to do a good job. Or what's his name? It's Schwartz, right? Or is he's a guy from Schwartz.
I think it's
Mike Flynn. Yeah, his name is Mike Flynn. He's from a landscape architecture firm called Sam Schwartz, but they're big on pedestrian and bike shit. They're like, you know, they're definitely some of the leading, it's one of the leading firms in landscape architecture and pedestrian spaces. And so he's from them. So he's good, you know, and he's worked with the city. He's been a public servant for a long time. And it seems like he bikes. So, you know, if he bikes, he fucks. You dig? If he bikes, he fucks. You dig?
Yeah, waiter. I mean, I get quite firm when I'm in a walkable environment.
Walkable, bikeable, suckable, fuckable. Waiter, bring me an Aperol Spritz and a Hugo Spritz for my wife. Thank you, dear. Dude, there's too many voices. Waiter. Yes, waiter. Hey, bring me... Okay, yeah. Rufus. Hey.
Waiter, can you bring an ice pack over here? Rufus's balls hurt.
Hey, waiter, my dog doesn't have all day. I'm running low on mimosas. Could you bring me... Do you do Clamato? Yeah, I don't want orange juice. I want Clamato in there.
What do you mean you won't seat us until our whole party's here? My gay son's just running a little late. He's parking the car.
My gay son is a very intelligent man. You know, he works for Goldman Sachs. Yes, dear. Goldman Sachs.
So you better get us a table, or I'll tell him to drive the CRV right through the restaurant, and then we'll buy it and build a 5-over-1.
No, I got nothing. I got nothing. I'm stoked as fuck to see Zohran in as mayor. We all need a Zohran in our lives. Been crashing out to anger management issues.
Yeah, that's pretty much everything on my list.
The subject lines on all these emails to the transportation department: you have failed. Your right of way is hurting people. I dare you to bike to work. Oh, hey, it's another reminder of your abject failures. Daily reminder that you've failed. Drunk driving-based economy. Man, these are good. These are good. You can just flame public servants. They can mute you, and that is what happened here, and that's why we had to start the podcast. Let's be real. But you can be a bitter and spiteful person just like us. And you can send hateful, virulently hateful messages to your transportation, your local, state, and federal transportation departments. And we encourage you to do so because it's your right as an American. It's your right as an American to be pissed off, to live free, and to submit public information requests to the transportation department. God damn. Oh man, I mean, that is actually very core to who I am.
Yourself and your neighbors.
True, like this is me speaking from the heart. You have a right to be upset about this. And in fact, you have there's a moral imperative that you get pissed off about this because basically all politics is fake except for the built environment.
And it's your right to communicate about that and make the world what it is. Right, like we're sold this idea of permanence and this sense that things have worked this way and this is how they're going to continue to work. And if we keep doing that, we're going to run out of roadway here, literally and metaphorically. And we're not going to be prepared when it's necessary to make our cities better. So you have the right and the obligation to impact your world for the better all the time. And I think that's what we're trying to do with this stupid podcast for you sickos that are listening. We're
all you sickos out there.
We're trying to make the world a better place. And if you don't think that the way that we do it is the right way, then why don't you send your transportation authority an email, or why don't you make a podcast? Because we need you to do that. We need people who are better than me and Ben to create media that changes the culture and saves the world and takes back the streets.
Gooners, oh gooners, take back the streets now. Take back the streets now. Whoa, gooners. Whoa, gooners. Take back the streets now. Take back the streets now. Oh, gooners. Scoo-doo-doo gooners. I'm coming for you. Baby, we are digitally, cybernetically enhanced. How you feeling, Luke?
I feel good. Your voice kind of cuts in and out, and I can't hear the piano myself. And so, for me,
okay. So, do you think it's because it's all too loud?
What's that?
Okay, but can you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or are you saying it's cutting it out?
I can hear generally what you're saying. Singing, I should say. But it's not clear. It's not like a clear, unbroken.
Do you know what it's like to be free? Whoa, baby. Whoa, gooners. So that's not coming through loud and clear.
I mean, I just don't know exactly how to participate.
No. I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out too. Because it's like, I can actually, I think it'll sound really good if you're talking and I'm playing.
Okay. I mean, I can go off, but I just gotta, I don't need to hear the music, but I just don't know what you want me to do, because I don't want to interrupt you if you're in the middle of doing a song.
No. It's like, I want to have a conversation, man.
I mean, you could just record the piano and then edit it into the like regular podcast content.
Like
that feels like it makes a lot more sense than trying to like organically do it where I can't hear the music.
But you can hear the music, Lucas, because the music is the communication. I feel so fucking powerful right now. I feel so fucking powerful.
When you have your own 2 feet underneath you, when you have your bicycle rolling underneath you, when you're sitting on the bus doing the crossword and you're getting where you need to go, that feels good, listener. Oh, that feels good. When you're driving and you have to pay attention and you're at risk of killing yourself, your loved ones, and the most beautiful stranger you've ever seen in your life at any given moment, that sucks. So get out of your car, get under your own 2 feet, and power yourself where you gotta go. Do it. Do it on one trip you're gonna drive this week. I dare you.
Hey, Gooner. Where you going? I got something to talk to you about.
Oh, yeah?
Hey, Gooner.
What is it?
Oh, listen here, young man.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to be free?
I want to be free.
Well, that's good, because I want to be free, too. We're going to take it back. Take it back. Oh, the streets. Ooh-wee.
But how do we do it?
Taking back. Taking back the streets.
But how, ooh, Ben?
Taking back. Taking back the streets.
But how? And
oh,
where?
Yeah.
And when?
Oh, gooners. Sorry, I'm just getting a little carried away. You would not believe what I look like right now. Let me send you a picture.
You just turned your camera on.
Government. the government is coming for your family values. The government is coming for your family values. That's a good one. We'll add that one to the repertoire. So yeah, no, the University of Texas Police Department is taxing poor people by ticketing more scooter riders. That's a takeaway of this episode. We've published up to 180% more serious crashes to roadway.report/Illinois if you happen to live in Chicago and you're a fan of the death map. So, Gooners, thank you for coming to the show.
Seriously, whoa, thank you once again for tuning in to Roadway Report, the only comedy podcast about roadway deaths. My name is Lucas. That's Ben on the keys, hitting them sweet, sweet keys. And we're grateful Gooners. That you're here, listener. At some point, Gooners. We're going to take back the streets in the dead of night on Gooners. Christmas Eve. Longtime listeners Gooners. Will be hip to that. If you want to get involved, you can visit us at patreon.com/busstuff. You can also access it always for free at roadway.report/podcast. You can listen to us for free on Patreon, Spotify, Apple Music, and basically wherever you get your podcasts. So thank you so, so much. I love you.
Thank you for coming to the show.
Next week, we will have updates Gooners. On the beat. We'll count how many roadway deaths Gooners. That we are able to add Gooners. To the map so Gooners. That we can keep raking in that
Thank
sweet, sweet
you
cash.
For
and we'll answer
Army.
Your listener mail, so
Gooner
send us a message.
Army. Gooner Army, fight the power. Gooner Army, Gooner Army, Gooner Army, fight the power. Gooner Army, Gooner Army, Gooner Army, fight the power. Take the streets back, fight the power. Gooner Army, Roadway Report. Gooner Army, take the streets back, fight the power. Roadway Report. Gooner Army, take the streets back. Okay, I think that's enough. That was good, man. I think we've entered a new era of this podcast where we do that sometimes, and I think the folks at home are gonna fucking love it.
All right, well, stay safe out there, look both ways at every green light, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, don't get hit by a car, pussies. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car. Go on and hit me with your car. Hit me with your car and drive away. Hit me with your car, baby.